Welcome to the Thrive with Holistic Healing Co. podcast. I am your host, Namita Mahanama. Here, I bring you the synergistic utilization of Western and Eastern modalities to help you thrive in your wellness, to thrive in your mental health, to thrive in life, so that you can feel and be your best self in body, mind, and soul. Thank you for joining me. So, let's jump in together and thrive. So, hello, and welcome to episode 36 of the Thrive with Holistic Healing Co. podcast. I'm so incredibly happy that you're here. And this is part three of the medication series. So this series, as you know, if you've tuned into part one and two, is all on medication in the perinatal period, so during pregnancy and the postpartum period. So we've gone through quite a few aspects, I believe, in terms of understanding the considerations with medication, the ins and outs, side effects, interactions, relationship with alcohol, what to watch out for, things like that. And so this episode, I really wanted to go through what are natural supplements that are available for anxiety and depression over the counter and what considerations to make. I want to really speak into the concept of being kind to yourself throughout this entire process and really what that means. To write a commitment statement to yourself. So this goes into the episode of ARMA, and it's a strategy that I write of in my book, and it's ARMA, A-R-M-E-R, and like armor that you would wear in a war. This really forms part of your, I guess, your strength and your courage and your protection and that artillery and the tools that you can use to work through this process, to navigate through this chapter in your life. And so I speak into writing a commitment statement to yourself and why that's especially important if we're embarking upon medication and why that's so important. I'm going to then chat through some strategies that you can use whilst Western medicine or Western treatments are starting to work, or whilst they're in the background working. We can't just sit and wait. We actually need to employ other strategies or do other things to help the process. Healing is holistic, which is why this platform is called Holistic Healing Co., because it is that synergy between Western treatment, yes, and Eastern techniques and strategies and lifestyle measures that we can really put into place here. And so I speak into some of these, not all, but some of these and why they're so important and what you could, you know, try whilst you're waiting for medication to do its role. I then speak into what is matrescence and what is this identity shift and how that is all part of the process. And then to really summarize medication in the whole picture of healing, and really also speaking into the fact that if you're not prescribed medication, why that's okay as well. It's not an assumption that if you have postnatal depression and anxiety that you need to have medication. It's not that at all. In fact, it's a very much unique situation where every person is different. Everyone's causes, everyone's reasons, everyone's triggers, everyone's symptoms, everyone's treatment, therefore, is going to be different. And so understanding that is very, very important. So let's dive right in. So what are some natural supplements that are available for anxiety and depression over the counter, and what considerations to make? So this is really just a general piece of information. I'm not here to go into the clinical trials and nut out studies and show the efficacy of every single herbal supplement. That's not the purpose of this exercise. That probably requires a whole other many episodes for each of the particular ones to really go through it, go through how effective or, you know, what the actual clinical trials are showing here. What I'm simply here to do is to bring to your attention what is available over the counter, and also what to consider if you're considering taking these supplements, you know, what should you be mindful of to be able to really understand its place in the whole scheme of things. So generally, if you walk through a pharmacy or even a supermarket, really in the medicine aisle, you'll see so many products that are available. And generally what I would say is, as a rough guide, you would find these sorts of supplements that are targeted or marketed or recommended for anxiety, depression, or insomnia over the counter. So you've got Bark Rescue Remedy. So this is a homeopathic and a plant-based style remedy. So they can be a spray you can put under your tongue. There are like pastilles, like lollies almost, you know, all sorts of things that you can take in that range. So fish oil, magnesium. So magnesium acts as like a muscle relaxant and a carminative. Now you need to be careful if you have IBS, as it can increase bowel movement. So definitely care would be needed if you already have a sensitive bowel. St. John's wort, which can be available over the counter in various different brands for anxiety and depression, or really just for mood and elevate the way that you feel. However, if you're on prescription medication, it can actually interact with various medicines, which we covered in the last episode, and it can reduce the effectiveness of certain medicines. And so it's something that you should really be very careful of. Now, if you're on prescription medication for mood-related symptoms, then I would never recommend that you try anything over the counter without asking your prescriber first, because I would first be wondering why you're needing to add something to your remedies. If your particular medication isn't working, then looking into why, or looking into how long it's been, looking into other measures, chatting about with your doctor what are the possible solutions that you can make. So either increasing the dose, you might need to change the agent, you might, you know, there's a whole host of things that we chatted about last episode, but I really am so mindful that I would not recommend you self-select anything else to help your symptoms just on your own. It needs to be part of a broader conversation with your healthcare team, really, truly. And that's because of the potential severe side effects that can happen. And just to paint a picture, I guess, is that it can reduce the effectiveness of the pill. Now, say, for example, you're on the pill and you self-select St. John's wort. Now, if you're already battling through postnatal anxiety and depression, your pill is ineffective and you fall pregnant again, that's going to add a layer of complexity that, you know, may otherwise not have been there without that interaction, that drug interaction. And so I'm all about finding information and, you know, really being so informed in your decision-making process. And you can only do that by asking the right questions and by seeking information from your pharmacist or your doctor. And I see things that are just so readily available over the counter, my genuine immediate response is, gosh, I can just see the potential risks for so many different things that I see. And it scares me. It really does scare me. And so if you ever were to self-select something, I really feel like it needs to be part of a broader conversation and really looking into you as a whole person and what you're on, what you're taking, what have you been doing, looking at your diet, nutrition, your supplements, your medication. And so it's a bit more complex than just self-selecting a product like you would, you know, say milk off the shelf. It's not the same. So anyhow, that was just one example. I digress. So there's also lemon balm, which is Melissa officinalis, chamomile, which notoriously is, you know, everyone would know, and lavender for calming, its ability to relax and help with calming and settling the nervous system. Now, gut health is intimately related to the brain and mood. The gut-brain axis is more researched more and more, and we know more and more information each and every day about it. So probiotics, looking at fiber and general gut health is very, very important. Now, as I just touched on, that my most important advice is to speak to a pharmacist first, to speak to a naturopath really before selecting anything. If it's the piece of the puzzle before you speak to your doctor, so you're not on medication, then again, you know, speak to a pharmacist, pull them aside and say you want to chat to them, and do it in a space where you feel comfortable, where it's quiet, where you have, I guess, a bit of privacy to be able to speak openly and honestly about what you're feeling, you know, your whole sort of case study as such. They can help decide what the safest thing for you would be. If you're on medication already, prescription medication, then again, it needs to be part of a broader conversation, which I've spoken to before. And I really feel, yes, there are natural health supplements available. Adding things would be only in conjunction with other medication if your doctor is aware of it and is quite comfortable in doing so. A chamomile tea is not going to interfere with medication, and so that may be fine. Just finding out what you can and can't take first is very, very important, and not assuming that just because it is natural and plant-based that it is fine to take with everything and at whatever dose. And, you know, it's not. I really am an advocate for understanding that there is safety and risk in associated with everything. And in terms of the clinical trials and how effective it is, you know, that's another story. And that's something that, in terms of clinical guidelines, that's something that becomes a little bit more complex, whether they have a placebo effect, whether they do exert an effect, but how much therapeutically it's going to offer you is going to be something that we need to look into a little bit more in detail. But that's not the purpose of this episode. So just be very mindful with what you take. And yes, just keep that in mind. I want you to just keep that in mind at all times. And now the next point of being kind to yourself throughout this whole process is really to grant yourself the grace and compassion, and to be really kind to yourself. And I know we live in a society where we're driven by results and productivity, and we're very much a quick fix, you know, start something, you want to see the results yesterday, right? I'm that person. I'm a type A personality. I want it done, and I want it done last week. I don't have the time and patience to sit around and wait. And so I get that. I completely understand. And with all the things that happen in a day and how busy life is, I get that. You know, you just want to feel better. But I think in this particular aspect, knowing and understanding that things can take time, having those managed expectations, understanding as a family unit that together you hold each other's hand and you try to make things as easy as you can. You lean into your tribe, wherever and whoever they are. You try to outsource what you can. We want to be unconditionally loving and supportive and optimistic and hopeful and gentle. And that feels really open and relaxed and allowing in nature. And if we compare that to, you know, the fear or being harsh and critical and hurry and rush, come on, I just want to feel better now. It feels really forced and constrictive. And, you know, I just feel that the energy of that is really, really different. And I love the work of Louise Hay and Masaru Emoto. I'm probably saying his name wrong, but the work that he has done with rice and how you speak to rice, and, you know, when you speak to it with love and kindness, it grows and flourishes. And when you speak to it with hatred and that other energy, it's cloudy and dark, and it's just, you know, you can visually see the difference. And the energy behind everything for me, it's just as important as the pill itself. If you're taking a medication with, oh, I don't want to take this. I can't believe I'm taking this. I hate this. You know, that feels different to being one of having optimism and faith and surrender. I really thank you, gosh. Thank you for this opportunity and, you know, having gratitude to be able to have access to medication. I mean, what a blessing that is. There were times, I mean, there's places in the world even now where medication wouldn't even be an option. It wouldn't. There would just be no access to it. And to have that feels really like a blessing, and it feels like an amazing opportunity. It feels like a privilege. It feels like Yeah, just absolute gratitude that it's available. And I can speak into the fact that it saved my life twice. I can say that with confidence and with full conviction and absolute heartfelt gratitude that the life I live today is because medication afforded me another chance at life. And so we take that pill with resentment and all of the constrictive emotions versus surrender and allowing it to do what it can do, it has the potential to do, it feels different. And I want that, I want you to tune into that, and I want you to connect with the potentiality of it having an impact for your health and to really give it a go, to cast aside whatever it is that you might be holding on to or that might be holding you back or any layers of cultural conditioning, if you've been told you shouldn't, if you've been told you're taking the easy way out, or whatever beliefs you're holding on to, or what your dialogue is saying within you, or perhaps what actual real people are saying to you. I want you to cut the cord, really, literally, just cut the cord, let it go. It no longer serves you, and step into the possibility of it being a real beautiful tool for you. It's one of the three arms that exist of treatment. It's no better, it's no worse, it's just another option. You know, if we use it with no real heat or extra heaviness or baggage associated with it, it's a tool. It's not the tool, it's not the only tool. It's not if you take it, it's going to work miraculously. There's other things we need to do. And now that's the purpose of this episode, is to go into that too. But yeah, I think the energy with which we take it without those extra layers is so incredibly important. And as a health professional, I can appreciate that it exists, because I've worked with so many patients, men and women, of course, that when we bring out medication for this, they're wanting to hide it, or they want to go somewhere private and have a conversation. They don't want everyone to know what they're on or why they're on it. And I can get that. But when we're actually taking the medicine, if we have that real open heart and surrender to the potential of it just doing absolute miracles like it did for me, then that's a beautiful space to come in from. And so that's just, another thing. I mean, I said to be gentle, but, that's also the energy space. But being gentle as well through the process of your body adjusting when you're taking the medicine, adjusting to the side effects, getting that equilibrium, be kind, be gentle. And similar to the weaning part when I spoke last episode of how my doctor said to be kind to myself and order takeaway, and, if your kids need TV more, it's okay. Cut down on activities. Do all of that. And so also being gentle to yourself in that process, being gentle to yourself in the weaning process is very, very a wonderful thing to do. Also being kind to yourself. If you're going to be thinking that you're stuck on this medication forever, it's not the truth. Until your biochemistry has restored or come back to equilibrium, you can wean off the medication with your doctor's advice and consultation. And so it does not have to be your forever. So to be kind and gentle to yourself is so important. For your partner to be kind and gentle to you too throughout the process, I think, is really important. The next one is to write a commitment statement to yourself. And so the acronym ARMER, A-R-M-E-R. So A is to ask for help, to really to speak out, to really, own your truth that you're not feeling well. So you've done that because this is about medication. R is reaching out to health professionals. You've done that. Amazing. I'm so incredibly proud of you. Now, the M is to make a commitment statement to yourself. Now, this becomes important because you're writing your reason why. You're making a commitment statement to your recovery. You're going to come back to this statement. Now, you can put it on your mirror, on your bedside table. You can put it on your phone that you see every day. You can put it on your fridge. You can stick it in your kitchen, wherever or whatever it is that you're going to see daily, all the time. You can come back to this statement because it will remind you of your why. Now, when you're sitting there a month into taking medication and it's not working, okay, if it's not working, that you can go back to this statement and remember your why. It will allow you to anchor yourself into what it is that you're willing to do, why you're willing to do it. And if you tell your loved ones, that can help you keep some accountability and to bring you back on track and to touch base and you know, it's not working. Okay, let's go back to your doctor together. Let's make an appointment. You know, that's the port that it'll just bring you back. It's like an anchor. It's just going to hold you to that place. And for me, I always love going back to my why, because it's so easy to get lost in life. It's so easy to get lost in the isness of, well, what is, you know, and if something's not working, it's so easy to just get bogged down by the frustration of what is. And so the commitment statement allows you to go back to the heart of it all, and it'll give you motivation. It will give you some calm and resolve and grounding to really hold on to the fact of what it is you're doing this for. And it can hopefully give you the encouragement to hold on. It can give you the guidance to maybe think, oh, look, you know what? This is why it's not really getting better. Let me take some action steps. So you follow up with your doctor and then take it from there. Okay. So I feel like this is also part of the puzzle, because medication is not a, you know, 24-hour thing. Wow, I'm miraculously better. It's not the nature of the beast. It can be for some. For some, it can be a really stretched out process. If we think that a medication can take up to 8 weeks to work, that's just one. Now imagine if that doesn't work and then you have to slowly wean off and start another one. I mean, it could be, if you really think about the whole process, it can take months and months and months. And this is not to discourage you. This is not to make you feel defeated. It's putting the perspective that it can take time. And if we're so used to things being a quick fix, we need to establish some managed expectations here that it can take time. And if it is taking time, then we need to help with some other anchors, because that will help get you through the process. And knowing your why will help you have that resolve. So my why was always my children. My why, and even today when my youngest was at preschool, I mean, I just held his beautiful face in my mind's eye and my heart as I was working, and I didn't want to work. I was so tired. There were so many things telling me not to do it. And yet I held his beautiful face in my eyes and my heart, and gosh, it fueled me. And my boys are the reason for everything. They were my reason back then. And even though that connection wasn't there, I knew that I had to get better for them. I knew it. I knew I didn't want them living in a world without their mum. I didn't. I genuinely couldn't. I couldn't have that happen. And so I fought for them. I fought it day in and day out. And I did it for them, and I do it for them. I do everything for them. So, you know, you have to go back into your why and to hold on to that. And times maybe SHIT right now, but eventually things will start moving. The cogs of the wheel will start turning, and you'll look back at the time, and you know that anchor that holds you back in your why will become your why for everything else. You know, in all your choices, in all your decisions in life, moving forward, that why will continue to be there for you. So yeah, I really feel like that's part of the process and the puzzle, because it's not a one size fits all. It's not a quick fix. And so to always go back to what it is that you're committing to and why. So we understand that it may not be a quick fix. Fine. I don't even know that I've said this. maybe I did in the very first episode of the series, but really medication, Generally speaking, it would not be used in isolation. So it would be used whilst you're also getting psychotherapy or cognitive behavioral therapy or counseling or some other treatment in psychology at the same time. Now, that doesn't have to be with a psychologist or a psychiatrist. It can be with your GP or a counselor or, someone. But generally speaking, you wouldn't be given medication and be sent on your merry way and not have any other strategies given to you. Okay, so I think that that's also very important. It is a piece of the puzzle, possibly, if the prescribing team feels it's the right thing for you, but it doesn't mean that you would use that in sole isolation. So generally speaking, medication, along with ensuring that you're seeing that other arm in therapy, the psychotherapy, in whatever form that looks like for you, to keep going, to keep on at it. And for me, that arm was irrelevant until the medication corrected my biochemistry, because I was an absolute mess. So I guess for me, I was in that position where I needed my biochemistry restored, and the counseling was not helpful until that had restored. I was not able to comprehend. I could not do anything except repeat my loop until that biochemistry was restored, and until my sleep had restored, and until all of those, I was not able to really take on board or listen or function or have a conversation about anything other than my loop. So for me, maybe, and for maybe others, that's part of the process too. But, you know, I did still, it wasn't as if I was only on medication and off on my merry way. I still did the work with, you know, my team, because, you know, that's part of the process, and we're able to reflect and nut it out and make sure everything was in place so that I could move forward feeling physically well and mentally well, that I was able to now continue on. And so other strategies in conjunction with these two is to really hold you and your family and do certain strategies to help you through this process, okay? And the reason is that they all on their own can help, you know, make you feel better. They have a subtle impact on how you feel, and cumulatively over the whole process, they will all have a benefit and an impact. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you've enjoyed this podcast, it would be so amazing if you could leave a review. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a thing. Share this resource and my Holistic Healing Co. website, where you will find all of the episodes and show notes, as well as share my social media to your friends and to all those who would benefit from its content. I hope you have received a beautiful takeaway to help you thrive, and I look so forward to joining you again next week. So in Ayurveda, the pillars of health is eating, so nutrition, breathing, so pranayama, sleeping, so sleep hygiene in terms of a Western health perspective, and elimination, so looking at your gut health and how we're able to clear toxins from our system. So eating, breathing, sleeping, and eliminating, they're the pillars of health. So if we look at nutrition, now whether it's from a Western nutrition perspective or an Eastern nutrition perspective, I would basically say that eating fresh, whole, prana-rich food versus processed, packaged, takeaway food will help your body nourish and heal. And I am actually working busily on an Ayurvedic cookbook. And in there, I have all of the principles of the Ayurvedic nutrition and what the grounding principles are and why they're in place. And so I speak into the impacts on the mental gunas, or the mental qualities of the mind, and you know, things like alcohol and caffeine, and the impact that they play on the nature of the mind, whether it's calm, serene, poised, and whether it's racy or whether it's dull and inert. There's certain qualities, so rajasic, tamasic, or sattvic, and the foods that we consume all have qualities by which impact our mind. But really, if you're just getting, say, processed food and you're eating chips or you're eating 2-minute noodles, which have no nutrient density in there, our mind would not be able to thrive. Our cells would not be able to gather all of the beautiful nutrition it needs to thrive. So we need to look at what we're consuming. So looking into your alcohol intake, looking into your caffeine intake, looking into having fresh, beautiful organic produce, homemade food. And so this is where we lean into our tribe to help food deliveries, fresh food produce coming to us so that we can eat nutrient-dense food. So that is an important aspect that we need to look into. Looking into the impacts of senses, of the senses and stimulus and what we listen to, what we look at, what we are consuming, getting out in nature. So trying to move our body to increase the prana is very important. Sleep hygiene is crucial and pivotal. And I've done a whole episode on sleep because it's so incredibly important. And looking at the time that we sleep, looking at stimulation, looking at getting sunlight first thing in the morning in our circadian rhythm and trying to help our body know when it's day and night. And yeah, so there's a whole episode on sleep hygiene because that's such a pivotal, crucial step. And so our parents, our new parents that are going through absolute sleep deprivation, broken sleep, start, stop. We already have this vata imbalance, this excess space and air, which is too much movement from an Ayurvedic perspective. It is a recipe for anxiety and depression. It really is from an Ayurvedic perspective. And so supporting with sleep within the home is so incredibly important. And so helping take turns with the baby, trying to make up for lost sleep in the next day is very, very important. And with the aspect of sleep, I know with anxiety and depression, I certainly could not sleep at all, not a wink in my illness. And so I have created a sleep guided meditation album where there's beautiful certain frequency music to help ground and calm the mind and to help you sleep. But also there's beautiful affirmations in the background that the baby and you in the room can hear, and it helps in that connection. So it's also trying to fill the void of that lack of connection and loss of connection. And it's beautiful words and repetitive phrases that, you know, I wish I had at the time. And that's sort of speaking into that aspect of sleep specifically for postnatal depression. So meditation, mindfulness, this grounding, this calming of the mind, blocking out external stimulus is really important for our emotional well-being. And it is a practice where practice makes progress, as our preschool teacher tells us. It's, you know, there's nothing, no practice makes perfect. It's practice makes progress, and we do our best. There's so much movement and noise and stimulus. Honestly, there are days I could throw my phone away between the bing, bing, bings and the constant notifications and then the dopamine fix you get from looking at your feed, you know, of social media. It's a recipe for burnout. We're getting so much information, and vata imbalance is this too much movement. And so we need stillness, and that's what mindfulness brings, meditation. So whether it's even, you know, when it is, it's so hard when you're sleep deprived, I understand. And when work feels relentless, you know, but mindfulness can be as you're washing your hands and you're feeling the scents of the soap and the water on your hands. It's whilst you're washing the dishes, just being mindfully aware in that moment, in that present moment when you're feeding your baby, to just be completely there and you know, just bringing your attention. So we can do it in different subtle ways in day-to-day living. The more we do it, the more habitual it becomes. And so practice makes progress. And so just keep doing that and go with what resonates with you. So when we're incorporating same movement, beautiful prana walks in nature, if you're mindfully walking and taking in what's around you, you're practicing mindfulness as well. Guided meditations can help you. I also have a guided meditation album, and it focuses on specific aspects. So fear, guilt, shame, recovery of the nervous system, recovery of your body post-birth, breastfeeding. So one that you can listen to whilst you're feeding, and instead of scrolling, it's this beautiful connection with your baby, whether you're breastfeeding or whether you're bottle feeding. It was to help fill this gap of feeling guilt if you can't breastfeed, like I couldn't. And so I was infusing almost with Reiki the energy of love and nutrition and nourishment to my baby, feeding with a bottle. And so that's another one. It's still mindfulness. It's a guided meditation, but it's sort of allowing mindfulness in daily, mundane, routine activities. Anyhow, so boundaries as well is very important. So if you're getting a barrage of people coming, to just be able to, and if you can't, you know, use your voice when you're not feeling yourself, then to ask your partner to, you know, verbalize what boundaries are needed for you in order for you to thrive is very, very important. So if you're having to attend to lots of different events and you've just started medication, it's all too much, to say no. You can stand up, and I know it's hard, and so you can make someone else do the dirty work for you, but to set boundaries and clear boundaries to say, like, look, I'm sorry, I can't do that right now. And, you know, you don't have to go into why, to say, look, you know, maybe next week or whatever. You don't have to do anything. We don't have to be people pleasing machines. We have to be kind and honor our own selves, because until we can thrive, until our needs are met, we're not able to meet the needs of anyone else. And really, the only people that you need to worry about if you're sitting on your bathroom floor, this is the visual I have, whoever it is that's peeling you off the bathroom floor, they're the people that you should be caring about, not anyone else outside of the walls, really, because it's the people that are deeply impacted by how it is that you're feeling is who you should hold in your forefront. And it's definitely yourself and what your needs are. So say no, set boundaries, lean into your tribe, ask your tribe. If you don't have a tribe, I know it's really, really challenging. And it's hard to just ask random people. I know that you need help, hopefully at mothers' groups, perhaps your neighbors at a cafe. If you're able to lean into your friends, families, people you've met along the way, at school perhaps, you may not have had great relationships up until that point, but you know what? People actually do enjoy being of service, and, you know, they get something out of it too by being of service to you. And so don't ever be afraid to ask, because you don't know unless you've asked. And if someone says no, then you know not to ask them again. You really want that community spirit of being open and being able to ask for help. So lean into your tribe, outsource what you can. If your budget allows, outsource whatever it is that's giving you the poops. And don't sweat the small stuff. Be kind and gentle to yourself, and know that this won't be your forever. Know that you will eventually get through this, and you will. And it's like planting a seed, and you have to water it and look after it and tend to it. And then when it grows up and big and strong, the fruits will just keep falling on its own. And all you have to do is gather the fruits, you know. And I think that's a beautiful analogy for where you are now, that we're just in that initial phase, you know, we're putting a tiny little seed, and, you know, it requires love and nourishment and lots of care and tenderness to help really let that plant flourish and grow. So those are just some strategies, okay? Those are just some strategies. But I really am a firm believer that we need to look at those other aspects as well. We can't be watching TV, not sleeping, eating takeaway food, drinking alcohol through the night to relax and not be wired from the caffeine we're having through the day to get through the day, and not move our bodies and work like we're working, trying to do family life as well, whilst looking after our mental and physical health. Something has to give, right? It needs to be a holistic approach to healing and treatment. And I feel like, that's my point here, is that we need to make subtle impacts as well. Medication is a possible arm of treatment, as is psychotherapy. And I don't really like that term because it can sound a bit scary. The last topic I wanted to speak into was this idea of matrescence and this identity shift. So motherhood in itself is a huge shift, and it's a huge change. And matrescence, for those that haven't heard of that term, is the shift from a woman into a mother. And there are so many changes that happen. There's so many learning, so many growth opportunities and things we learn along the way. And it is a beautiful time. It is. And upon reflection, I'm not who I was pre-children in the best possible way, in the best possible way. But there's so many challenges. And postnatal depression is, I'm going to say, a byproduct of this matrescence, because it doesn't happen to everyone, but it is a side effect of having hormonal changes or biochemical changes that happen from carrying a baby or birthing a baby. So it is part of what can happen in this matrescence, but not just with that, even motherhood, just entering into motherhood, this shift is incredible. And my take home message is, and I've learned so many different reflections in my book, I write about all the different reflections that I've had, but my biggest takeaway is that it takes time to learn how to fly, but when you do, you're going to soar. You absolutely are going to soar. And so it doesn't feel like that at the time, but if I was to look back and I can see how far I've come, and, you know, I'm different now. I'm not the same. Motherhood, matrescence, it doesn't leave any woman as she was before, because I'm not that same person. I'm bolder. I'm stronger. I've found my voice. I feel like I've found my grounding and my footing and my place in the earth. And I kind of know who I am more, and I know in the unknowing is where the knowing was found. It's cliche as that sounds, but, you know, I wouldn't change it or swap it for anything. I see life differently. And there are times that, you know, and I must say lately that, you know, I feel like I have felt a bit battered from the world and a bit, you know, beaten energetically, like, you know, it's from the heaviness of all that is on a day-to-day basis. And it is probably the collective energy that I feel. But yeah, this year has been, you know, really quite a challenge for me from a spiritual perspective. But then I always remind myself of what an absolute blessing this is. And this, again, this retransformation that I hope is what's happening this year is one that, again, is making my wings stronger. And so this shift into matrescence is beautiful. It's challenging. It's hard. Every age and stage is different, but it's all beautiful. And you'll look back at this time with absolute respect and admiration for all that you've become. And I believe that that's possible for you and every single person. So I think really understanding that it is a huge shift, and there's so many layers and things that are happening, but to lean in. I feel like every opportunity is an opportunity to lean in, to introspect, reflect what's working, what's not working, what's happening, what's your inner voice, your soul telling you. Nothing happens for no reason, if that makes sense. Every voice, every inner guidance that you're getting is to help direct you into the right path and the right way. So definitely lean in. And know that you're going to get through this. But so look, in summary of this whole series in terms of medication. So if medication is something that your doctor has prescribed and recommended for your treatment, I would say to go into it with open hearts, open mind. Enter forth with optimism, with hope, with no baggage on your back. Go up, stand tall, be proud. Stick your finger up to anyone who is making you feel anything other than empowered about stepping forth on your treatment. If medication is not something that your doctor has prescribed, that's okay. It's not for everyone. It may not be required in your particular circumstance and situation. So that's okay. And I think being open to that, there's not an assumption that, you know, there's not an equation. There's not a set equation that everyone has to follow. It's not like that at all. So I guess just being very open-minded, and if there's a question, ask that question. If there is any doubt, allay that doubt through information. And my final takeaway really is that I want you to stay committed to your recovery. Know that it's possible. 80% of the population that has postnatal depression make a full recovery. I mean, that is tremendous, tremendous, tremendous statistic, right? And the other 20%, I'd love to know what the other, you know, what the shades of gray are in that 20%. But really, my hope for you is that you stay committed, you hang in there, never stop medication on your own, chat with your doctor always. Crystal clear communication is key, information is key. And really know that your pharmacist is a beautiful ally. Know that your prescribing physician is a wealth of knowledge. And so to just ask, and for partners listening, family members listening, be there, hold each other's hands. You're going to make it through. You're going to get through this and you will get better. But I hope you got a lot out of this. I really appreciate that you're here. And I hope you've enjoyed all three parts of this series. So until next time, I hope that you keep well, you keep healthy, you keep amazing, and I will see you later. Bye. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you've enjoyed this podcast, it would be so amazing if you could leave a review, subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a thing, share this resource and my Holistic Healing Co. website, where you will find all of the episodes and show notes, as well as share my social media to your friends and to all those who would benefit from its content. I hope you have received a beautiful takeaway to help you thrive, and I look so forward to joining you again next week.